Well, last week I began a series called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and I began by talking about the problem of emotionally unhealthy spirituality. And we looked at Saul, and we saw how he was emotionally unaware, how he didn't cultivate a relationship with God, that he just wanted to take the easy way out, not waiting, not trusting God. Today we are addressing know yourself, that you may know God. An awareness of ourselves and our relationship with God are closely connected. For if we are honest about who we are and know how God has gifted and how he has wired us, then we can step into a freedom where we know God at a deep level and can really make a positive impact on the world. A little boy was overheard talking to himself, and he kind of strutted out through the backyard, and he was wearing his baseball cap and toting a ball and a bat. "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," he announced, and he tossed up the ball in the air, and he swung at it and missed. "Strike one," he yelled. Undaunted, he picked up the ball again and said, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," tossed the ball up in the air, swung and hit, missed again. "Strike two," he cried. The boy then paused a moment, examined his ball and his bat carefully, spit on his hands and rubbed them together, straightened his cap, once more said, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." Again, he tossed the ball up in the air, swung at it, and missed. "Strike three." "Wow," he exclaimed, "I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." Hitter or pitcher? You ever act like you're somebody you're not? Or maybe do things that you really don't want to do? Often people do this when they begin dating, pretending to like something that they really don't like, or, you know, they go somewhere not really wanting to. But we can do this with our family, our friends, even people here at church, and holding back how we truly feel. But when we do this, what people are getting is really an imposter. It's not the real you or me. If this is what we do in a marriage, well, naturally, it impacts our relationship. It's the same with our relationship with God. If we don't know ourselves, then how can we really give every part of us to him? St. Augustine in the 4th century prayed, "Grant, Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know thee." A limited awareness of ourselves truly limits our relationship with God. In our Tuesdays together, we considered some of the symptoms of what we would call, you know, a false self. For example, asking questions like, "Am I the kind of person that says yes when I really mean no? Do I have a need to be approved by others in order to feel good about myself? Do I often remain silent in order to just keep the peace? Do I believe that if I make a mistake, I'm a failure?" It's easy to gloss over these kind of questions, but in order for us to grow and be healthy, we need to be willing to be vulnerable and ask these kind of questions, as they are the symptoms that indicate that we are living more out of a false self rather than an authentic self in Christ. David is an example of someone who knew himself and knew God. He had this balance of emotional health and deep faith. And so we're going to this morning look at a part of his life. The passage that we're looking at is 1 Samuel 17. It's a long chapter and probably a familiar story to many of you, so I'm just going to summarize it. The story begins with two great armies facing each other. The Israelites on one side, the Philistines on the other. They're on this, each army on a hill with the valley of Elah in between them. The outcome of this battle was to be determined by a conquest of champions who would engage one another in combat. The Philistines offered up Goliath. He was a very large man, over 9 feet tall. The armor that Goliath wore was probably about 125 pounds. The tallest man that was ever recorded, you know, in the last few centuries was Robert Pershing Waldo. He was born in 1918, and before he died, he measured 8 feet 11 inches. His hands were a foot long. He possessed great physical strength. Kind of gives you a bit of an idea of just what Goliath was like. Goliath ridiculed Israel, mocking God, and daring them to have anybody to come out and fight him. It says in verses 10 and 11, "I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. One other translation says dismayed and terrified. Well, I can imagine so. For 40 days, morning and evening, Goliath taunted and intimidated the Israelite army. Then David arrives, bringing some food for his 3 older brothers. And as he is talking with them, Goliath comes out, shouting his usual taunt at the armies of Israel. As soon as the army sees him, they cower in fright. David sees this, and he asks the soldiers that are standing nearby, "Well, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" You know, we tend to just focus on the passages of the major events of David's life. But the scriptures do tell us more about David that reveal the difficulty that marked his early life. David at the time of this story was about 17 years old. He was the youngest of 8 boys. His 3 older brothers are in the army. His father is described as aging, dying. David's job had been to tend the sheep for his family, and he's come here simply to bring some food to his brothers at the front lines. And as we read this account, we do get a tiny glimpse into his family dynamics. It seems his family environment was not all that supportive. His brothers judge him, label him as conceited and wicked. Verse 28 says, "But when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. 'What are you doing around here anyway?' he demanded. 'What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle.'" Clearly, things are not all that great in his family. He's misunderstood, slandered, ignored, and disregarded. The message to David is, "You're a nobody, useless, go home." That's a tough environment in which to grow up. We can experience a lot of pain from our families. And maybe some of you can identify with David, growing up in an environment where you felt loved conditionally. That can create a tension and a struggle inside of us. And we can carry the baggage of, "I'm only lovable if, well, if I do things, what people say, if I do things well, if I have a good marriage, if I have a successful job, successful kids, and so on." David shows up, he's ignored, disregarded, and told to go home. But note how he responds. He doesn't take these messages to heart. He stands firm in who he is. He knows who God says he is. And so he responds, "I'll go and fight this Philistine." And King Saul ends up hearing about this and calling for David. David is suddenly before Saul and says to him, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And Saul then replies, "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." David could have easily responded, "Yeah, if you don't think I can do it, you're probably right." But he didn't. He knew that he could do it, and he trusted God. Ever had someone say, "You can't do that"? My dad said that to me on a few occasions. One time I was asked to write an article for a special clergy publication, and I was excited, and when I told him about this, his response was, "You can't do that. You don't have time. You don't have the skills." But I figured I could do it, and I sensed God was calling me to do it and trusted that he would help me. I did it, and it is published in a journal. I also run into this in regards to being a woman in ministry. I can be rejected, disregarded, but I know this is what God has called me to do, and I can stand firm in God's calling on my life. David persisted. "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Well, Saul then puts his armor on David, saying, "Okay, you want to go? Go." And just picture it. Saul, as we saw last week, is a very big man who's tall. Well, David's only about 17. He probably looked like a little kid, you know, kind of dressing up for Halloween. And David realizes, "I can't go in this. This is not me." So he takes the armor off, and he goes and he picks up 5 smooth stones from a stream, and he puts them into his bag. Verse 40 says, "Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine." David steps forth with integrity, knowing who he was and what he could do. David had been prepared by God. As he was tending sheep, he had killed bears and lions, and he knew what he could do with that slingshot. David had strengths that he brought to the battle, and he knows that God will bring Goliath down if he's faithful to himself and to God. When Goliath sees David, he steps out and he begins to curse him. Verse 41 to 44 tells us, "Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. 'Am I a dog?' he roared at David, 'that you come at me with a stick?' And he cursed David by the names of his gods. 'Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals,' Goliath yelled." And David replies, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." And then you know what happens. David puts a stone in his slingshot. He hurls it. The stone hits Goliath in the forehead, and he dies. And the result? The whole nation is blessed, and God is glorified. When we are true to ourselves and put our trust in the living God, others are blessed and God is glorified. But when we remain in fear, denying who we are and who God is, in the long run, it just really hurts ourselves and others. God made each of us unique. And there is this connection between an understanding of ourselves and our relationship with God. Sometimes we lie about who we are, a pitcher instead of a hitter. Pete Cesaro makes this comment: "Living your God-given life involves remaining faithful to your true self. It entails distinguishing your true self from the demands and voices around you, and discerning the unique vision, calling, and mission the Father has given you. It requires listening to God from within yourself and understanding how He has uniquely made you. I want to leave you with two things to consider this morning. First, David didn't listen to the negativity that was thrown at him. You know, the insults by his brothers, Saul saying he couldn't do it, the taunts from Goliath. He let all those comments fall away. Why? Because he spent time with God and he listened to God's voice. Max Lucado wrote a book called You Are Special, and it tells the story of Punchinello, a wooden person that's made by Eli, the woodworker. And each day, the residents of this town would give stickers to one another. Gold stars, you know, if you did something well, were talented, smart, and attractive. And then they gave gray dots for those who made mistakes, or for just plain and ordinary. Well, poor Punchinello was covered in gray dots, feeling worthless. And then he meets Lucia, who doesn't have any stickers on her at all. People would come up to her and they'd, you know, try to put something on, but it would just fall off. And Punchinello asks, "How do you do this?" And she responds, "It's easy. Every day, I go and see Eli." So one day, Punchinello goes to visit Eli, his maker. He asks about Lucia and why the dots just don't stick on her. And Eli responds, "She decided that what I think is more important than what they think." And Eli goes on to tell Punchinello, "All that matters is what I think. And I think you're pretty special." David allowed the gray dots to fall off. He let the comments from his brothers and from Saul just fall to the ground. People will throw judgment and criticism against us. And as we grow in being authentic, listening to what God says about us, we can let those things just fall to the ground. I love the verse in Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." Before Christmas, I was in a study group with a news story, Indigenous Women, over on Keats. And Cheryl Buchanan shared about praying and asking, "God, what are you singing over me?" And she shared how times when she has done this, the song that has come to mind has just been so encouraging. And so that night, each of us just stopped and prayed and listened and asked, "God, what are you singing over me?" And it was so interesting to hear the songs that came to mind and the meaning that that then had and encouragement of our faith. We need to listen to what God is saying about us. What is he singing over us? Not listening to all the negativity that may be thrown at us. The second thing that I want to emphasize today is just being who we are. Not trying to be like someone else or comparing ourselves to others. In Romans 12, we read, "Try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all. For just as you have many members in one physical body, and those members differ in their functions, so we, though many in number, compose one body in Christ and are all members of one another. Through the grace of God, we have different gifts." I did manage to put together, it's on the back wall, the giftings and what you wrote on the back of those puzzle pieces. Well, let us, with courage and vulnerability, step out being authentic to God has created us to be, using those gifts that he has placed within us, trusting God to work in and through us, not comparing ourselves with others, but also being willing to work on those gifts that he has in us. You know, think how David would have practiced over and over again with his sling. The question I think we need to ask ourselves this morning is, am I on the hills with the terrified soldiers, listening to the naysayers, not being authentic, thinking I need to be a pitcher because I missed some swings? As we spend time with our Creator, knowing his heart, listening to what he says about us, and being true to whom he has made us to be, it will be a blessing. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, as we pause, we acknowledge that you are the living God, that you created and you sustain the world. And even in our rebellion and rejection, you reach out to us in love and mercy. Lord, grant us your peace, your joy, your power, that we might live the life of truth that you have called us to live. Lord, thank you for your servant David and the lessons that we can learn through his life. Would you give us the courage to honestly look within ourselves, understanding who you have created us to be, and bringing all of who we are to you. You made us, you love us, help us to live out of that wholeness in who you are, trusting that you are the one who holds all power. Fill us, Holy Spirit, and empower us to do that which you have called us to do. Spirit, lead us where our trust is without borders. Let us walk upon the waters wherever you would call us. Take us deeper than our feet would ever wander, and our faith will be made stronger in the presence of you, our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.